Chapter 30. The Quiet. Azure is gone. The crevasse deep, sides narrowing away into darkness. I rush back to Ragnar as Mustang stares up at the hillside on the clouds, bow at the ready. She only has 3 arrows left. "I don't see anything," she says.
"Reaper,"
Ragnar murmurs from the ground. His chest heaves, panting heavily. Dark lifeblood pulses out of his open stomach. Azure could have finished him quickly, with 2 thrusts when he was on the ground. Instead, she stabbed his lower gut so he would suffer as he died. I push on the first wound, red to my elbows, but there's so much blood I don't even know what to do. A res gun can't fix what Azure has done. It can't even hold him together. The tears sting my eyes. Can hardly see. Steam billows from the wound, my frozen fingers tingling with warmth from the blood. Ragnar blanches at the blood, an embarrassed look on his face as he whispers apologies. "It could be the cannibals," Mustang says, regarding Azure's distraction. "Can he move?" "No," I say weakly. She glances down at him, more stoic than I am. "We can't stay here," she says. I ignore her. I've watched too many friends die to let Ragnar go. I led him to fight Azure. I convinced him to come home. I will not let him slip away. I owe him that much. If it is the last thing I do, foolish or not, I will defend him. I will find some way to fix him, get him to a yellow, even if the cannibals come. Even if it costs me my life, I will not leave him. But thinking it doesn't make it true, doesn't give me magical powers. Whatever plan I make, it seems the world is content to undo it.
"Reaper,"
Ragnar manages again. "Save your strength, my friend. It's going to take all of it to get you out of here."
"She was fast, so fast."
"She's gone now," I say, though I can't know for sure.
"I always dreamed of a good death."
He shudders as he realizes again that he's dying.
"This does not seem good."
His words fishhook a sob from my chest into my throat. "It's fine," I say thickly. "It'll be fine. Once we get you patched up, Mickey will fix you proper. We'll get you to the spires. Call in an evac."
"Darrow," Mustang says.
Ragnar blinks hard up at me, trying to focus his eyes. He reaches for the sky with a hand.
"Sefi."
"No, it's me, Ragnar. It's Darrow," I say. "Darrow," Mustang presses sharply. "What?" I snap.
"Sefi."
Ragnar points. I follow his finger to the sky above. I see nothing, just the faint clouds shifting in the wind that comes in from the sea. I hear only the sound of Cassius's hacking and the creak of Mustang's bow, and Holiday limping toward us over the snow. Then I see why Azure fled, as 3,000 kilograms of winged predator pierces the clouds. Body that of a lion, wings, front legs, and head that of an eagle. Feathers white, beak hooked and black, head the size of a grown red. The griffin is huge, underside of its wings painted with the screaming faces of sky-blue demons. They stretch 10 meters wide as the beast lands in the snow in front of me. The earth shakes. Its eyes are pale blue, glyphs and wards painted along its black beak in white. Upon its back sits a lean, terrible human who blows mournfully on a white horn. More horns echo from the clouds above, and 12 more griffins slam down into the mountain pass, some clinging to the sharp rock walls above us, others pawing at the snow. The first griffin rider, the one who blew the horn, is cloaked head to toe in filthy white fur and wears a bone helmet crested with a single spine of blue feathers, which trail down the back of the neck. Not a rider is under 2 meters tall.
Sunborn,
one of them calls in their sluggish dialect as she rushes to the side of their silent leader. The speaker strips her helmet to reveal a brutish face, thick with scars and piercings, before falling to her knee and touching her forehead with a gloved palm in a sign of respect. A blue handprint covers her face.
We saw the flame in the sky.
Her voice falters when she sees my sling blade. The other riders strip their helms, dismounting in a rush as they see our hair and eyes. Not a rider among them is a man. The women's faces are painted with huge sky-blue handprints, a little eye drawn in the center of each. White hair flows in long braids down their backs. Black eyes peer from hooded lids. Iron and bone piercings, bridge noses, and hook lips and notch ears. Only the lead rider has yet to remove her helmet or kneel. She steps toward us in a trance.
Sister, Ragnar manages. My sister.
Sefi,
Mustang repeats, eyeing the black human tongues on the prize hook on the obsidian's left hip. She wears no gloves. The backs of her hands are tattooed with glyphs.
Do you know me?
Ragnar rasps, a tentative smile on quivering lips as the rider approaches.
You must.
The rider catalogues his scars from behind her mask, eyes dark and wide.
I know you,
Ragnar continues.
I would know you if the world were dark and we were withered and old.
He shudders in pain.
If the ice was melted and the wind quiet.
She drifts forward, step by step.
I taught you the 49 names of the ice, the 34 breaths of the wind.
He smiles.
Though you could only ever remember 32.
She gives him nothing, but the other riders are already whispering his name and looking at us as if by accompanying him and possessing a curved blade, they've pieced together who I am. Ragnar continues, voice carrying the last of his strength.
I carried you on my shoulders to watch 5 breakings and let you braid my hair with your ribbons and played with the dolls you made from seal leather and threw balls of ice at old Proudfoot. I am your brother. And when the men of the Weeping Sun took me and a harvest of our kin to the chained lands, do you remember what I told you?
Despite his wound, the man reeks of power. This is his land. This is his home. And he is as vast here as I was upon my claw drill. The gravity of him draws Sefi closer. She collapses to her knees and strips away her bone helmet. Sefi the Quiet, famed daughter of Alia Snowsparrow, is raw and majestic, face severe, angled like a crow's. Her eyes too small, too close together. Her lips thin, purple in the cold, and permanently pursed in thought. White hair shaved down the left side, braided and falling to the waist on the right. A wing tattoo, encircled by astral runes, is livid blue the left side of her pale skull. But what makes her unique among the obsidians, and the object of their admiration, is that her skin is without pox or scars. The only ornament she wears is a single iron bar through her nose. And when she blinks down at Ragnar's wound, the blue eyes tattooed on the back of her eyelids pierce through me. She extends a hand to her brother, not to touch him, but to feel the breath steam before his mouth and nose. It is not enough for Ragnar. He seizes her hand and presses it fiercely to his chest so she can feel his fading heartbeat. Tears of joy gather in his eyes, and when they spill from Sefi's, down her cheeks, to carve paths through her blue war paint, his voice cracks.
I told you I would return.
Her eyes leave him to follow Azure's tracks into the crevasse. She clicks her tongue, and four Valkyries stake ropes into the snow and rappel down into the darkness to seek out Azure. The rest guard their war leader and watch the hills, elegant recurve bows at the ready. We have to fly him to the spires, I say in their language. To your shaman. Sefi does not look at me.
It is too late.
Snow gathers on Ragnar's white beard.
Let me die here. On the ice. Under the wild sky.
No, I mumble. We can save you. The world feels very distant and unimportant. His blood continues to leave him, but there is no more sadness in my friend. Sefi has chased it away.
It is no great thing to die,
he says to me, though I know he doesn't mean it as deeply as he wants to.
Not when one has lived.
He smiles, trying to comfort me even now. But he wears the unjustness of his life and death upon his face.
I owe that to you. But there is much undone. Sefi.
He swallows, his tongue heavy and dry.
Did my men find you?
Sefi nods, staying hunched over her brother, her white hair flying about her in the wind. He looks to me.
Darrow, I know you think words will suffice.
Ragnar says in Oriat lingo, so Sefi cannot understand.
They will not. Not with my mother.
This was what he did not tell me. Why he was so quiet on the shuttle, why he carried dread upon his shoulders. He was coming home to kill his mother. And now he's giving me permission to do just that. I glance over to Mustang. She heard too, and wears her heartbreak on her face. As much for my shattered fool's dream of a better world as for my dying friend. He shudders in pain, and Sefi pulls a knife from her boot, unwilling to watch him suffer any longer. Ragnar shakes his head at her and nods to me. He wants me to do it. I shake my head, as if I can wake up from this nightmare. Sefi stares at me fiercely, daring me to contradict her brother's last wishes.
I will die with my friends,
Ragnar says. I numbly let my razor slither into my hand and hold it over his chest. There's peace at last in Ragnar's wet eyes. It's all I can do to be strong for him.
I will give Eor your love. I will make a house for you in the vale of your fathers. It will be beside my own. join me there when you die.
He grins.
But I am no builder, so take your time. We will wait.
I nod, like I still believe in the veil, like I still think it waits for me and for him. Your people will be free, I say. On my life I promise this, and I will see you soon. He smiles as he stares up at the sky. Sefi frantically puts her axe in Ragnar's palm so that he can die as a warrior, a weapon in hand, and secure his place in the halls of Valhalla.
No, Sefi,
he says, dropping the axe and taking snow in his left hand, her hand with his right.
Live for more.
He nods to me. The wind whips. The snow falls. Ragnar watches the sky, where the cold lights of Phobos glitter on as I silently slide the metal into his heart. Death comes like nightfall, and I cannot tell the moment when the light leaves him, when his heart no longer beats and his eyes no longer see. But I know he's gone. I feel it in the chill that settles over me, and the sound of the lonely, hungry wind, and the dread silence in the black eyes of Sefi the Quiet. My friend, my protector, Ragnar Valaris has left this world.